Hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes. How we doing?
We're dialed. I think we're dialed.
Well, but that's the thing. I do think we're dialed, Jason. So maybe you can help me. Where is this disrespect of Micah Parsons coming from? Where is he reading or seeing this disrespect that's coming his way?
Who was that guy that played for the Washington Wizards that did nothing to Michael Jordan in the you've seen,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
LaMichael, something along those lines. LaBradford Smith. It's LaBradford Smith. I can't believe he's disrespecting Micah Parsons like this. Or that poor guy who made the varsity at Jordan's high school.
Oh, yeah.
When Jordan was a sophomore.
Yeah.
And that poor guy got called out in Jordan's Hall of Fame speech.
It's like, awesome.
Look, I really enjoy Parsons. Like, he's been, you know, he is a colorful character. We haven't had a lot of guys. It's a little difficult now that I'm putting together TV packages for WISC in Madison that sometimes he'll be in the middle of a good quote and then he swears, which has never really been an issue for me from a writing perspective. I just put the brackets in that say expletive and we're all good. But I'm trying to think of how many colorful characters we've had in recent years, because Chewy's 96 team was obviously full of them.
Yeah,
I also invoked Chewy's name yesterday in the locker room, not to any of the players, because they
don't. You know who this guy is?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I'm still trying to get people to give me credit for comparing Tucker Kraft to Chewy, and you know it's progress is slow, but I'm in it for the long haul. Just like Tausch has finally acknowledged that there's a lot of Micah Hyde in
Evan Williams,
mm-hmm. which is a big win for me. But the design of the locker room, I mean, it's obviously the amenities are a million times better than those like chain link fence lockers that you guys had.
Mm-hmm.
But Williams and McKinney are in that corner like your corner, and it's a pain in the butt to try and get to them. And here are, you know, you used to take advantage of that. Like,
yeah.
You can't get to Chewy. Oh, well, I guess we won't be able to talk today. But these guys are two of the best talkers, so it's a real location problem. So I don't know where Micah's bringing that up. I literally started my story for today by comparing him to Jordan, conjuring stuff up. And again, his brother made some sort of reference a couple weeks ago. Remember that tweet, Gabe, where
he
basically said you should be complaining about Rashawn Gary and not my brother. That was basically the translation. And which, I mean, no lies detected except for the fact that I don't think anybody's complaining about Micah Parsons. He's even playing the run well.
Well, that's the thing, Jason. Like, you could go onto Twitter right now, search Micah Parsons, and you'll find somebody somewhere disrespecting him. It's just the way that Twitter is. Like, you'll find somebody disrespecting Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. despite him being on pace to set the sack record this season. But the way that Micah talked about it, it wasn't like, oh, people on social media or any people. No, it was like specifically the Bears were disrespecting him. So And I want to make this perfectly clear. I have no problem with him manufacturing motivation. I know that's what athletes do. It was just funny. I'm like, wait, did I? Because I honestly went, wait, did I miss something? Like, because I know we're all talking about the Matt LaFleur thing, and Steno mentioned that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I honestly thought I missed something the way Micah was talking in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah, I was not there for Parsons. I was talking to a couple of guys in the locker room, which again is another one of my complaints now, is that the two biggest stars, the quarterback and the pass rusher, go out into the hallway to do their interviews, which is, it's fine. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, other than the fact that if you want to break away from the group, you don't have vision to the locker room like your corners want vision to the ball to intercept passes. If I see someone I really need to talk to, I can bail and then come back, and I can't do that. So I didn't go to Parsons. I did read our transcript from our little cabal of one-man bands that kind of work together to get the transcription done. And I think if my guy Jack McCoy was involved from Law and Order, the judge would say, would sustain the objection for a leading question. Because somebody said something about the Bears' disrespect, and then that's kind of what triggered the venting that he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention, but I actually thought it was the opposite. I thought that this, you know, because of the poorly delivered zinger from Ben Johnson in January, I feel like they've been like awkwardly, uncomfortably complimentary going both directions. Now, I will say this, and I didn't finish my story last night, so I was working on some other stuff, but I talked to Josh Jacobs for quite a while, and during the group portion of our conversation, somebody asked him about the rivalry, and he said it's much stronger this year because they're actually a pretty decent team. Which I thought was, okay, I guess that's a compliment, but that sounds to me like something that I would put on my bulletin board. Like, he said it with some measure of surprise, like, oh, they're actually decent. So again, if you're manufacturing that kind of emotion, I go back to what Chewy's buddy Brett Favre used to say about how there was always a guy on your team in high school that would say, they called us a bunch of cream puffs. Yeah. Let's go get them.
Yeah.
And then that guy would get knocked on his ass on the opening kickoff, and you'd never hear from him again.
Jason, is this still a big deal to the fans? Because, you know, we don't have our finger on the pulse of Green Bay, but I remember back in the day, there were restaurants that would put Bears jerseys where, you know, the floor mat would go into the restaurant. We don't see that. And then I'm just reading on the Packers X that there's still tickets available because the Bears returned a portion of their allotment. So is this still a big deal to the fans?
Well, I don't think it is, only because, again, during your era, the Bears, you know, if anybody would have been proclaiming, I own you, I still own you, it would have been the good people of Chicago, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because and you guys were the ones that flipped the script. And so for a very long time, you know, Green Bay was the trying to turn things around. And then Favre goes 22-10, Rodgers goes 25-5, Love is 3-1. LaFleur was 11-0 against them until the finale, which again, I think if they had something to play for, they'd play it differently. And they're probably 12-0 against them, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think so, only because, and again, I you guys know me, I do not speak for fans. This is just my observation, is that there's been too many times with the Vikings and the Lions during this domination of the Bears where there were more important things to play for. And I think that's why Sunday is different. You know, Josh Jacobs, what I love about him is there's not a dishonest bone in his body. Like, we need a number one wide receiver, right? Like, he doesn't, he just says it, and he's got enough gravitas to that people are like, well, he's not lying. And so I think he's right about this. It is different because the Bears are decent. And I, again, 6-point positive point differential, bunch of one score wins, bunch of wins over backup quarterback starting for the opponent. I get all that. But the record is what their record is. And their spot in the NFC North is first place right now. And so I think if, and this is why, this is another example, and we talked about it earlier in the week, why I'm wired differently than fans, because I want this to be this. I don't want it to be the Packers dominating. And I understand fans don't see it through the same prism, but to me, this is just way more interesting. Now, there's also the possibility, a higher possibility, that your team will lose to the Bears. And I understand why fans don't like that. But I don't think until there's more to play for on a two games a year basis, I don't think you'll see it be like it was when you were around town, too.
Jason, one of the things that kind of flew under the radar yesterday with all these other things going on, Packers-Bears week, Javon Bullard downgraded to a non-participant in practice yesterday, especially given how the Bears run the football. If he's unable to go, would Nate Hobbs, who's working his way back from his knee injury, would Nate Hobbs be the guy they put in the slot?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He would be. In fact, we asked Halfley about that. That was before we got the injury report. We talked to Halfley before we got it, I think. I can't remember. Because he also talked about Bullard and how well he's played. We'll see what Bullard does today. But yeah, that was unexpected, obviously. And I would agree with you with all the, look, I try to cover all the angles, and I didn't do a good job of covering that yesterday either. Because I was too busy worrying about Josh Jacobs talking about how he's not going to stop practicing and he's not going to change his running style and they can't put any real protective padding on his knee. And if you guys watch the Thanksgiving game, Brian Branch hits him square on that knee that's got the bone bruise mm-hmm. and the quadriceps bruise in it. And he actually said, and I just got to finish the story that I'm writing about it. He actually said he went to Branch, who he didn't really know. They both went to Alabama, but not at the obviously same time. But he basically kind of gave him a stern talking to, not just, hey, man, you didn't have to do that. I know why you went low, but come on. But also, like, I think he hit some helmet to knee, which he kind of gave him like a big brother speech of, hey, man, you're gonna do some serious damage to yourself, too, playing that way. So with all that going on, I didn't – and Bull was in the locker room. And I wish I would have talked to him. We'll see if he's in there today when we're in there. But, yeah, that – he is – between him and Evan Williams, those two guys have played really, really well. And while I have been certainly critical of certain draft picks that Goody has had in recent years that have not panned out, those two dudes are really good football players.
Jason, where do you think – the front office is right now with Rashawn Gary as far as returning next year? He's 0-4 in the last five games. Where do you think they're at?
If somebody
should be hearing chatter about not finishing seasons, it should be him.
Correct.
It should be Rashawn Gary. Not Micah Parsons.
Yeah. He's got five games to get 2.5 sacks. He'll probably have one game out of the final five where he has 2.5 sacks in the game, right? Because mm-hmm. it always comes in bunches with him. There's a bunch of – like, look, I will admit that, he was a first-round pick in 19. I have never had the kind of relationship with him that I have with other players where I could get him kind of open up and talk about his frustrations. I would actually say that I've had conversations before where – I wanted to paint I don't want to say sympathetic picture. I want to paint it fairly, but I've had conversations with him where I kind of wanted to give him the opportunity to say, look, I need to be better, right? Because fans want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Fans want to hear that you're acknowledging that you're not having as much impact as you should and that you care about it. And he's not someone who says that. And so I don't know the answer to your question, Chu. I would say with his cap number and with other people to pay, he would be a candidate for a trade or a asked to take a pay cut or his release because of obviously they have Micah Parsons, and Micah Parsons is the rising tide that lifted his boat for a while and can probably lift some other guys' boats. They drafted Baron Sorrell. They drafted Colin Oliver, who is coming off the PUP finally. They've got Kingsland Egbare, who's in a contract year, who they might be able to re-sign for a lot less than what it would cost to keep Rashawn Gary. So I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what Goody's thinking because they haven't talked to us all year since training camp ended. But I would say that I am intrigued to see how that plays out.
Jason, before we let you go, in our next segment, Chewy has a question for me. But he would not tell me before the show what the question was. Do you think I should be nervous?
No, not at all.
Okay.
He's a radio professional and a three-time Pro Bowler. I love this. I think we need to do more of this. You guys, yeah, I don't know what, like, I mean, you guys do a great job. Jen is phenomenal. You two are phenomenal. You're knuckleheads, but you're phenomenal. Josh needs to be a little bit careful. It's great to hear Will call me this morning, but he's getting into a little Jesse Nelson territory with the number of days off he's taking, so he's got to be a little careful. But you guys have these pre-show meetings. Like, you understand that with Tausch, not only do I not know what question he might ask, he doesn't even tell me that he's not telling me what the question he's going to ask.
Jason, can I be honest with you, though?
You forgot it?
Yeah, I forgot it.
See, and
It'll come back.
See, this was what I was worried about when this happened, when he goes, oh, I've got a really good question, but I don't want to tell you. I'm like, are you sure you're going to remember it? Oh, yeah, I'll remember it.
And I even asked him. I said, do you want me to write it down? And he said,
yes,
no.
Write it down.
It'll come back.
All right, well.
Yeah, right. Can't wait till it'll come back at 9:45.
Yeah, exactly. I might be calling your show, Jason.
We'd love to have you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.